Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Lots of fun on the program today with a couple of guests to start the show. You know, you probably heard of the Master Gardener program. I wonder if you know about the Master Naturalist program. It's part of the Natural Resources Institute, and we're going to learn about the Institute today. Learn about how to become a master naturalist and a whole lot more about the programs that the Natural Resources Institute oversees and works with, and they do a wonderful job. Tricia Gorby is one of our guests. She's the program director for the Natural Resources Institute. Tricia, welcome.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you back. Chad Cook is the program manager for the Land and Water Program, which is part of the Institute as well. Chad, good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
So we're going to be talking, certainly I mentioned Master Naturalists, so we'll talk about them, but we'll talk about many of the other programs. There's a lot of ways for you to become involved in citizen science projects and a whole lot more, and so we're going to be talking about how you might get involved in some of these programs, which are sometimes a little bit of work, but they're always a lot of fun, and they're always an opportunity to learn a whole lot about our natural resources. Maybe you've already participated in some of the programs we're going to talk about, or maybe you just have questions about them, and if you do, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Tricia, let's start with you. How did the Natural Resources Institute come about? Give me a little history here.
Good question. Thank you. Well, as many of you know, Extension has, well, we have, first of all, we have a, with the Division of Extension and Extension broadly, we have natural resources has been central to our state's history and cultural identity. And we have long roots in conservation and natural resources that run deep from our first agriculture agents who happened to be very connected to natural resources topics to our affiliation with the Aldo Leopold's home department, the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology, to our long history of leadership in water and work at the crossroads of ag, natural resources, and local communities. So natural resources have been really central to Extension for a long time. And with the reorganization in Extension, Natural Resources now as an institute has, Natural Resources has been embedded in part of Extension, as I mentioned, for a long time. The institute over the reorganization came about as pulling in a lot of our programs that focus in on natural resources. So we have over 140 affiliated staff and faculty that reside both with it in Extension and on campuses across the state. There's many of you would be familiar with those, such as Jamie Knack and Dr. David Drake, who've been on your program many times. So we have a lot of affiliates, Brett Shaw, also here on campus. So we have a strong affiliation with campus already here, and we're excited to be part now, especially on UW coming back to UW-Madison more recently. So,
yeah, and you know, I looked at the list of people who are part of the institute, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've interviewed many of them over the over the years in a whole bunch of different areas. That's kind of cool. So now we're all under that umbrella of the Natural Resources Institute, at least.
Yeah, and we have programs. So, like you mentioned, You've had many of our extension specialists already join you in the past. But our programs span from geology, such as the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, to forestry programs, to wildlife, to water resources. So as I mentioned, we do have also programs that that extension supports on, such as campus at UW Stevens Point, Center for Watershed Science and Education, the Lakes Program there, Center for Land Use Education and Wildlife as well.
So. And they do a wonderful job there.
They do, yeah. We people are at the heart of our work in our communities, and there's 72 county offices across the state, but we have programs that really touch all communities. So we're excited from shoreline property owners to backyard birders. We really, I would say, Extension is really embedded in.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Master Naturalist Program.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to, this is a great opportunity to bring Chad in on the conversation too.
Yeah,
I'm
Chad,
just enjoying the conversation. I know.
I can go on and on sometimes. So here, Chad.
I think it's a pretty cool program. I mean, it's sort of a takeoff on the Master Gardener program, isn't it, in some ways?
A little bit. I mean, they share, you know, that master in the name, but really the Master Naturalist program, it takes advantage of, I mean, one, the fact that we have just these phenomenal natural resources in this state, and we have people that love those resources and want to keep learning about those. And so they're excited about kind of lifelong learning, whatever they do on their day job or in retirement. But it just gives them an opportunity to continue learning about nature. And mm-hmm. also, if they're so inclined, to really help a lot of the organizations that are supporting nature, or nature centers and other organizations like that. So the program, what we do is we consider it more of a train-the-trainer program. And so what we do is we connect with a lot of these organizations around the state, nature centers and such, that that want to offer training to volunteers. And so we help train them as instructors. And then we have a 40-hour curriculum that we've developed, and then the instructors take that curriculum. They kind of develop a cohort of volunteers that want to go through the program, and they take them through the program. It's 40 hours of instruction. There's a capstone project that they take part in, and then at the end of the class, they are a certified master naturalist. And at that point, they can to maintain certification, they need to put in a few volunteer hours each year. And those volunteer hours are done through one of the organizations that they can pick, any sort of nature center or other organization related to natural resources that they like, and put in some volunteer hours and do a little bit more continuing education. But it's just a great way for people to continue to learn about nature, continue to learn about our natural resources, and then also then apply that to our nature centers and other organizations that need that support on the ground.
And that training, it's not like a solid week of 8-hour days. It has the person in mind, I think.
It does. Yeah, I mean, you know, the people who sign up to be a master naturalist, I mean, you know, we've got college students, we've got retirees, we've got kind of people from all walks of life, and that's the beauty of the program, is that anyone who wants to kind of continue learning is able to do that through the program. So the organizations that host the trainings, they'll set up their schedule. Sometimes it's, you know, it may go for a week straight, but maybe it's like from 6 to 8 at night. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of fit the hours around a kind of a schedule. But it does allow people to kind of, you know, continue with their day lives, and gives them the opportunity to kind of fit in the course, you know, as it's kind of laid out by the organization that's hosting it.
Can you give me an idea of you may have some course descriptions, or at least course topics in mind that people, you know, just to give people an idea of, you know, okay, what am I going to learn about? All right, broadly, we know it's about natural resources, but there may be, I mean, for example, water, or do you focus on wildlife and water? Do you focus on soil? What kinds of things do you?
Yes, all of that.
Yeah, all that. Huh? Yeah, well, that's good.
So the programs, I'll just jump in here, Chad, sure. too, because I think exactly what you said, Larry, that the type of training and the coursework covers from geology, ecology, plants, wildlife, water, aquatic life. So it really does touch on, when we think about the ecology of Wisconsin, all those different pieces. Now, some people say, am I going to learn all the birds? Am I going to learn all the plants? And I think that's, you know, that's not necessarily the intent. It's really to bring people up to they're learning about a lot of the different core concepts and species that they can then bring that to an organization as part of their the curriculum. So
yeah.
So it reinforces a lot of the learning that happens. So it does field-based type exercises and really helps to understand and bring some of that base understanding for people to ready themselves for volunteering.
I think it really builds their confidence.
Yeah.
And not that they need to have every answer then. They're not, you know, they're not expected to be an expert in the field, but it kind of creates with them a network of other volunteers, those people that are doing the instruction, and it really creates this network of people that can find the answer. And so that's really the big thing, is that they know where they can find answers to questions. They don't need to know the answers to the questions themselves, but they know where they can get those answers.
But people. They still will know have answers to a lot of those questions.
They do.
Yep, absolutely.
For sure, for sure. So how long has this program been going on? I know we've talked about it. It's come up on my show in the past, but how long has it been going on?
So we launched in 2013. So
okay.
we were just wrapping up our sixth season of doing the trainings. Mm-hmm. And in fact, 2019 was a big year for us because we hit our 1,000th volunteer trained, and we also hit 100,000 hours of volunteer service performed. So those are big milestones
cool.
for us. And in fact, I think partially because of the success that we've had in training volunteers and then parlaying that into volunteer hours across the state, we recently were honored, the program was honored by the Alliance of Natural Resource Outreach and Service Programs, which is a nationwide organization made up of Master Naturals programs and other types of citizen science programs. Our Master Naturals program was awarded the Outstanding Program of the Year just a couple weeks ago.
Well, that is very, very cool. I'm thinking about, as I'm listening, and I'm sure other people are listening and wondering, well, how does one get involved in something like this? Do you go to your county extension office? Do you go online? What do you do?
Yeah.
Great question. Uh-huh. you could go to your county extension office, but the easiest way to do it is to really connect directly with the program itself and the staff. And so Becky Sapper is our director of the program. She's actually located up in Ashland in mm-hmm. her office, but Martha Martin here in Madison and Astrid Neuenhaus in Madison, they are also part of the program. And so the three of them really are the backbone mm-hmm. of the program in connecting with our instructors and the volunteers. So the easiest way to do it is we have a website, wimasternaturalist.org, and that is it's a brand new website. We've been doing a lot of work. Becky's been putting a lot of work into making sure that website is functional with some of the other support mechanisms that we have in extension. And so we have a great website that will walk people through what the Master Naturalist program is, how they can get involved, and then even, when they're Master Naturalists, how they can even find the opportunities to do their volunteer hours and to connect with others. And so wimasternaturalist.org.
Glad you repeated that because I wasn't sure if I had it written down right. So it is wimasternaturalist, all one word. Mm-hmm.
Master Naturalist.
Master Naturalist. It is a hard one to remember for me anyway. Probably not for anybody else. wimasternaturalist.org.
And if all else fails, go to Google and type that in and that'll take you to it too.
You'll find it.
All right. There we go. Talking today with a couple of guests. Tricia Gorby is director of the Natural Resources Institute. Chad Cook is the program manager for the Land and Water Program. So we're learning quite a bit now about the Master Naturalist program, but there are other programs that you might get involved in as well. And so I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from one of those Master Naturalists out there. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jane Rotunda, our on-air producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the Natural Resources Institute today, there's lots going on within the Institute and lots of ways that you can get involved in things I know you enjoy doing. And so I hope you'll listen in and maybe join in with your own questions or comments as we visit with Tricia Gorby and Chad Cook of the Natural Resources Institute. Chad is program manager for land and water programs, and Tricia directs the institute itself. So wonderful to have them with us today. And again, we're going to learn about some more of the programs and invite you to call in. We did put a post, Jane Rotunda, let me know that. Of course, I put it up on WPR.org/Larry. So there's a link there if you want to go there. You can always find links to the things that we're talking about today on the show. And I imagine I'm sure we'll be giving another website or two. I just go back to Chad for a minute because one of the things I forgot to ask you about was cost and potential for scholarships.
Yeah, so the Master Naturalist program, it's a coursework, it's curriculum, and so there are costs associated with that, and we don't have the means at this point to cover all of the costs for everyone. But to take the course, it's about $275 for the year, and that will get you through the program. We do have financial aid available, and so we have scholarships that are available for those that need it. In fact, probably around 10% of our volunteers that take the course end up with some level of
part, or at least part of the scholarship pays for, or at least part of it's paid for by the scholarship.
Yeah, yeah. And we do even have, so that $275, as Chad mentioned, is also just a portion of what it truly does cost to basically carry out this course. And so we also have generous donors who've been really committed to the program and interested in seeing this expanded to more volunteers. And so we also used donations to help support the program in advance, sort of to support those scholarships as well.
Oh, great. Well, we have a couple of callers. So let's take a call or two online here. Kelly and Delavan, we'll go to you first. Hi, Kelly.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I currently have two students in college at two different University of Wisconsin campuses, and my son already has a two-year civil engineering degree with a freshwater resources emphasis, and my daughter is in a biology degree. And are any of the UW Extension programs partnering with any of the UW campuses? So, like my kids are both looking for internships. Is there any kind of partnership between the UW Extension? Because this sounds like something that both of my kids would be interested in.
Yeah, well, I think there's a pretty close partnership there, isn't there, Tricia?
Yeah, I mean, so we have, like I mentioned, we have faculty across all, like, many of our UW campuses across the state, and there's tight connections with our campuses and our two-year colleges as well. So you can see that with Extension being present on those UW campuses, we do have those connections. And I would, each of our faculty members have these presence in Extension and can connect with students as well. And so we have a lot of students who are involved. I, in particular, as a graduate student, I work directly with Extension faculty on campuses as part to help support the programs. We had undergraduates also participate in those projects. So there are great opportunities. So I would encourage the connection directly to those faculty on those campuses to find those opportunities as well.
And you can go online to find the faculty. What's the general website for Kelly or Kelly's kids?
Yeah. Good question. So you can go to our overall Extension website, which you can do a staff directory, which has all of our faculty and Extension faculty. If you are specifically looking for the natural resources, there's a quick link. It's go.wisc.edu/NRI. That's the shortened URL. Again, it's go.wisc.edu/NRI. And we do have a list right there of our Extension faculty and staff on UW campuses. We call them our integrated faculty. And you can find those lists of those, our specialists there.
And Kelly, I noticed from experience that one of my colleagues, Brett Shaw, has often worked with students on projects that he's been involved in. So there's been some opportunities, I even think, for credit, as a matter of fact, for some of those students. So there are opportunities out there, and certainly encourage your young students there to participate and take part.
And I should mention, we do have students also who've worked directly in county offices. So we
yes.
have. So that's another way to look. So I'm thinking of where in your county office to stop in and talk to either the Air Extension Director, the the staff and at those offices to look for opportunities for students as well.
Kelly, does that help out?
Well, that helps out a great deal. I actually worked with a master gardener with her project. I just haven't taken the time to become a master gardener, but we started a community garden in through the school district in Delvin, Wisconsin. So
good for you.
I'm familiar. So yeah. I might get around to this naturalist one.
Please join us.
After I get done with the master gardener.
Okay. Kelly, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. All right. Good for her. Bill in Pewaukee, let's go to you. Hi, Bill.
Hello. I live in Pewaukee, but I spend a lot of time in Okano and Langlade County. And there's a water runoff website that these big CAFO operators are using to dump animal waste in these counties. And they're using it as an advantage to kind of forecast when they should be dumping manure. And, you know, some people from the community tried to get protections in our land and water resources management plan that I believe Chad oversees. And most of those protections were rejected. Well, right now, Langlade County has 7% of the wells are contaminated with nitrate, and you're not supposed to drink that, according to the EPA and the DNR's level of 10 milligrams per liter. My question is, what can a county do to stop more groundwater contamination from occurring? Because we all know where this is going to end. If they keep dumping it on days when it's raining or just before rain, it goes right into the groundwater. It provides no soil amendment or no nutrition for next year's crop.
All right, Bill, thank you so much for calling. Well, it's just one of the many challenges that is faced, and I think that, Bill, or Chad, excuse me, I think you guys work on and try tackling.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these issues that are kind of addressing or that are facing the state, especially when it comes to, you know, some of these pollution issues, you know, those we work closely with some of those, the more regulatory side of things through DNR and Department of Agriculture. So what we do is we're able to provide some of those educational opportunities and really connect, you know, beyond the regulations to education and understanding the connections between, you know, surface application of things and what happens to surface water and groundwater issues. And so, you know, fortunately, I think we're in a good year for things because with Governor Evers' proclamation of the year of clean drinking water and some other things happening, I think there's a lot of focus right now on some of these groundwater issues and surface water issues that are occurring. And, you know, I think we're well poised to help lead some of those conversations.
I was thinking about, as you were talking there, I was thinking this kind of reminds me in a way of one of the citizen science projects, the WAVE program. It's what is it? Water Action Volunteers.
Yep.
Maybe talk about that a bit and what that's about.
Yeah, thanks.
So the Water Action Volunteers program, that's one of our partnerships. And so Peggy Compton is our program manager there. And she works with some staff at DNR, and DNR is a big partner in that program. And really what that does is we train volunteers in how to do some pretty simple, quick tests in streams. So there we teach them how to monitor dissolved oxygen, the temperature, the turbidity or clarity of the water, and the stream flow, and then also looking at the insects that are living in the stream. And so we teach volunteers how to do that. That's about a 6-hour training period what we do in the field. We're hoping to actually move some of that into an online course. We're excited about that this year. But then once those volunteers are trained and they have a site, you know, right now we have over 500 stream volunteers, and they're monitoring over 600 locations annually. And so when that information is collected, that actually information is put into the DNR's kind of central database for all of their kind of water quality and other information. And so what it does is it allows us to be able to provide information on streams that maybe don't have a lot of information previously. And also, as volunteers are monitoring over time, they're able to actually look at trends in water quality, at least in those parameters. And so we can hopefully, if there are changes in trends over time, that kind of signals that maybe something's going on. And then, you know, DNR folks can get involved and think about, trying to figure out, like, what are the causes of those trends? And then how do we change those trends to back to a more positive trend?
You know, I just love the citizen science idea and concept to begin with, because there's no way the DNR or any other agency is going to be able to put, for example, 500 people on 600 navigable or streams and waters to do that kind of collection, that kind of work. Tricia.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean the citizen science component, it's, and again, we have strong partnerships with the DNR and a lot of these projects is really it's a service to the state, and just to, in the sense of collecting the data and being able to gather information out there, and it also, you know, provides people a different type of connection to their resources around them. So they're learning about the streams, they're learning about the research. And so it's really a great opportunity both for the citizens and for Extension and for just collecting the data. But also we think this is an opportunity to give back and a learning a way that people can engage hands-on with the research itself.
So, yeah. And for people like Bill who are concerned about water and water quality, gives them some background information and, you know, maybe a bit more information that they can apply to their own situations.
And in a way we can, you know, people can pitch in and help to get this information back in to understand, as Chad mentioned, the trends that we need.
Yeah.
We need this long-term data to really to help us better understand the systems and what we can and can't do.
Yeah, for sure. So. Bill, thanks again. I appreciate it. CJ in Blue Mounds will give you a chance now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, you had asked if anybody had gone through the training, and so I'm phoning in, and I took the training. I thought it was 2012, the very first time there was a class.
And now this is the Master Naturalist class you're talking
about. Yes, that's right.
And what was it like for you?
Well, it's eye-opening. I had just retired from being a teacher's aide in the school system, and I wanted to continue involvement with kids, as well as getting them more in touch with their natural environment. So that was basically my capstone project, was the ability to reach out to kids, young kids, and encourage their participation in their natural world.
So for a capstone project, well, CJ, so you had to design something as part of your training then, right?
Well, yes, I wanted to introduce kids to diversity, to streams, and to prairies. I mentored a high school student in designing and completing a small prairie at a community preschool.
Oh, very good for you. Well, is this? Thank you very much for calling. So, obviously, you enjoyed this this whole process.
It's very well worth it, and I'm glad you said that we are not experts, because not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. But the idea is maybe to begin with, the kids don't really need to know the names of plants and birds, but once you introduce them to the love of seeing these creatures, then they begin themselves to want to know the names and want to know more about life cycles of plants and animals.
Oh. Well, you're doing great work there, CJ. Thank you so much for calling. And just to take up a little more on this, with the sounds like she had a great program there. She's mentoring a young person. Chad, is this a typical kind of program that...
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, what I'm fortunate to see, you know, oftentimes Becky will get emails and notes from people who have taken the course and have some positive things to say. And she shares those with me. And so I love seeing those positive experiences with people, you know, and I think, you know, with the Capstone project, I had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to go over to Schlitz Audubon Center over near Milwaukee and kind of sit in on their last class for their training session, and this is where all of the participants were kind of presenting their capstone projects, and it was just wonderful to see just the variety of things that they kind of saw as issues and did little projects around. You know, the one I remember was, you know, there's a couple of people, and there's a preschool kind of associated with the center there, and what they did is they created a little pictorial flower guide for the kids. Mm-hmm. And they also added the Braille to those guides. And so they wanted to make sure that those that had issues, were able to still kind of see and know what those flowers were by using the Braille. So some really great projects and things that, you know, a lot of our nature centers and other organizations need, but they may not have the time or the staff to be able to do those. And so that's where those volunteers can step in and use their talents to help fill some of those gaps.
That's very, very cool. CJ, thanks so much again for calling. Appreciate it. Still have a little time. If you'd like to join in, maybe you've got an experience to share or a question to ask. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions, comments, or maybe your experiences to share. I know there are a lot of other programs out there that can involve our citizens, Tricia.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's been really a pleasure to talk more about the Master Naturalist Program. And I think the citizen science and volunteering opportunities, though, abound with Extension. And I wanted to mention a few other programs also. And I'll hand it back to Chad, too, to expand on some of these. But we do have three sites, or kind of we call them place-based programs, and those span the state. And so I'll mention a few of those, including the Weir Nature Center, which is a program in partnership with Milwaukee County.
Yeah, that's a great place.
It is.
What a wonderful place.
I was just there for their CIDR event, and they were able to kind of unveil some of their new for their facility, so the upgrades to the facility to make it more accessible. And so that was an exciting time with Deb McRae, their director. But it's 220 acres located in the 660 acres at Whitnall County Park in southwestern Milwaukee County. It's open year round. There are some really great opportunities to volunteer and some citizen science opportunities as well. Even this fall, there's a buckthorn busting and battling non-native bittersweet volunteer needs at the county park. Also upcoming this winter, there's a bird count on Sunday, December 15th, and there's chili provided. That's a 9-to-4 event. And I've done winter bird counts it's just a really fun
time.
Yeah. And good way to get involved. And it's a great way to really get that information back in on the state of our birds. They would like you to pre-register by December 13th. So if you'd like to attend that. And they also just to get involved, Weir has just a number of programs. There's a Halloween haunt coming up this weekend, starting on the 17th, and Glacial Ghosts on November 2nd, where you learn more about the glaciers and how they left the mark and created the Whitnall County Park. So really good ways. A great way to volunteer with Weir is through the Friends Group. And so when I was there at CIDR, the CIDR Fest, just a flood of volunteers from the community, from the university around nearby, and just local volunteers who love that area. So it's a good way to, again, to give back and also to participate. There's lots of opportunities to volunteer with Weir.
Yeah, I was thinking about Upham Woods because, people may not connect Upham Woods with the Natural Resources Institute, but it's a part of what you work, the areas that you work in. And there's a couple of things that are coming up really quickly now. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. And there's you can become a certified DNR fishing instructor.
Yeah.
And Upham Woods, for those who aren't familiar, it's located
right on the Wisconsin River.
Near Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah, so it's just 2 miles north of Wisconsin Dells. And so Upham was founded in 1941 and has been part of Extension, donated through the Upham family and dedicated. We have over 40 programs of Upham, and some questions have been, do you have to be part of 4-H? Because Upham that's really been a really core part of where Upham began. But really the focus and the mission for Upham is the conservation, environmental programming, and leadership education. And so they span programming. So you don't have to be part of 4-H, but we do have a tremendous number of 4-H programs that take part at Upham. But there's also programs that happen open enrollment in the summer for summer camps. So there's residential programs, day programs. They have outreach in other parts throughout the state that they go, and they visit schools, community groups. Upham really resides there on the Wisconsin River, but does reach, again, all parts of the state.
Well, here we are on November 2nd from 9 to 4.
Yes.
At Upham Woods, you can become a certified DNR fishing instructor.
Yeah, we have staff trained to deliver this program. And as Larry mentioned, it's from 9 to 4. Registration does close on October 28th. And you can brush up on your basic fishing skills, but learn how to inspire people to take part in fishing. And really, that's the great part of what Extension does is really that inspiration. I do want to mention there's also a trail project. So if you want to volunteer at Upham, you don't have to register in advance. You can show up this Saturday from 9 to noon. And our trails touch at least, we have 11,000 kids trek these trails. And so this is an opportunity to help with trail building and management. Tools are all provided. You just have to come appropriately dressed with long pants and closed-toed shoes. But you can one, experience what Upham is, and right on the Wisconsin River there, get a chance to see the property and also help out. So that's this Saturday, again, from 9 to noon.
Yeah, it's only 3 hours.
Yes, yep.
But it's 3 hours well spent.
It's really a great impact. The one thing is our programs, and I'm so happy to be able to feature some of the citizen science and volunteerism. We can't do it without, connecting to the communities and people of Wisconsin. And the service provided by these volunteers is tremendous. So we're very grateful for that as well.
And now this, to get more information, let's go back to those websites again and so forth.
Yeah. A list and connect, so you can find all the websites that we've in the programs, such as to Upham Woods, to all the programs that Chad was mentioning as well. We didn't get to all of the such. You mentioned Water Action Volunteers is another. So there are different opportunities, and you can find these programs on our this shortened URL, which is go.wisc.edu and then /NRI. And so that'll you can find the Master Naturalist program through that link as well. And so I think that's a good way to get to all of the programming and also see a list of our extension specialists as well.
That conservation professional training program, is that part of a citizen thing?
It's not. Actually, that program, so Kevin Erb runs that program for us, and that really is Kevin thinking about our conservation professionals and what sorts of continuing education and training they do. So he works a lot. He does a lot with custom canoe haulers in the state of Wisconsin, and also doing a lot of work recently with the Natural Resource Conservation Service and developing training and curriculum for their staff. And so we have a lot of expertise, not only from Kevin, but we have a lot of really good expertise in instructional design, and which is really thinking about adult learning and how adults learn and how do we put together classes and curriculum for them. So we have that expertise that we're able to bring along with some really, really fantastic evaluation services, because we want to make sure that all the programs that we do are effective and having a meaningful impact. And so we have evaluation built into pretty much everything we do. And then we also have a really top-notch marketing and communications team that help us too. So, we have a lot of expertise within Extension that we rely on. And as Tricia mentioned, we don't do any of this without a really, really strong network of partners across the state that help us, kind of deliver the programs and really support all of the work that we do and the volunteers that we train.
Including those citizen scientists.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, tell you what, it's been a lot of fun. There's lots going on with the Natural Resources Institute. And Tricia and Chad, thanks so much for coming by and being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having us. Thanks.
Tricia Gorby is the director of the Natural Resources Institute. Chad Cook is the program manager for the Land and Water Program. Great to have them with us. And I'm sure we'll be talking again about programs that are going on. In fact, almost by accident, I wind up with many shows, especially on Wednesdays, but Fridays too, that involve people who are part of the Institute. So great to have them with us. And coming up, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're talking about education yet next, but we're also talking about helping wildlife and helping wildlife rehabilitators. It's a great program at the University of Minnesota that is involved in training wildlife rehabilitators, and we'll learn about that next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.